So good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you, to sit with you. Happy Valentine's Day. Let's see. So in Torah time this week, we are standing at Sinai. But can we stand Sinai? Can we bear it? Can we bear intimacy with this moment to moment, divine unfolding. This dynamic, eternal space that is, in essence, presence. As the Israelites gathered this week at Sinai, they are forbidden to touch the mountain. So I wanted to begin by sharing a moment with you several thousand years later. When I stood at the base of Sinai and climbed to the top, it's an almost it's a little bit over 8,000 feet peak, so it's quite a wonderful elevation in that peninsula that is jam-packed with incredible mountains. So I bow to this week's Parsha Yitro. As the Israelites enter the wilderness of Sinai, on the third new moon after they leave Egypt, they encamp in front of the mountain of Sinai. So in the 1970s, when I lived in Israel, there was not much of anything in the Sinai wilderness, but really it was only a wilderness for us, not for the Bedouins who lived there. It appeared on the surface to have barely any civilization. No buildings, no roads, maybe a footpath in the desert sand, a well-trod, scruffy path to the peak of so-called Mount Sinai. I took a friend up the mountain that someone had designated at Sinai to see far and wide what appeared to be uninhabited. We saw no signs of civilization. But almost immediately, we became lost and then hungry as the sun grew faint on the horizon, at which point, miraculously, a Bedouin man appeared out of nowhere. That is nowhere for us. This was his turf. He took us back to his hut to sample these hidden, most delicious pears growing in a secret, secret to us, secluded orchard. Laden with pears. The pears were they were delicious. They were hanging on branches in our reach, and it was our sustenance. We continued hiking with our adopted Bedouin friend on our way to find a place to roll out our sleeping bags at night, and was begin that night was beginning to gather. And we started walking again. Every once in a while, there would be a branch that had fallen from a lone acacia tree there, and our Bedouin friend would pick it up to add to a handful of branches in his grasp that turned out to be designated for our dinner fire. He pointed to a place we should sit. I had a little bit of Arabic, so there was some talking there. He proceeded to teach us how to make pita in the sand. He carried two pouches with him, one with flour, one with water. He dug a pit right in the desert floor to mix the flour and the water and put the mixture directly on the earth. Covering it with sand, he lit a branch and waited until it became hot, glowing embers. He covered the wet pita with sand and topped by hot, burning embers. Then, a certain moment, he scraped everything away. And the sand, away the sand turned the flour water mixture to cook on the other side with the glowing embers. And at a certain moment, he pushed the hot embers aside, swept the hot sand away, and uncovered the water flour mix now that had become pita. He held the pita bread in one hand and took a rock from the ground and beat it so that all the sand fell off. And it was definitely the most delicious dinner we ever had. Oh my goodness. So for me, it felt like I was somehow standing with my ancestors. And in Torah time, our ancestors, the Israelites, are encamped at the base of the mountain. Moses went up the mountain, and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh called to Moshe, saying, "Say to the house of Jacob, and declare to the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to me." The Torah continues that you must keep this covenant with me. You shall be to me my treasured possession. All the earth is mine, a holy nation. And everyone answers, "All that Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh has spoken, we will do." And Moshe relays that to God. And Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh says to Moshe, "I will come to you in a thick cloud so that the people may hear when I speak with you, so they will trust you ever after." Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh tells Moshe to tell the people to stay pure for 2 days. Not sure what that means, maybe to wash your clothes or maybe not have sex, not sure. But on the third day, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh will come down in the sight of all the people on Mount Sinai. Observe boundaries. Don't touch the mountain or you shall die. On the third day of the third moon, new moon, there was thunder and lightning and a dense cloud on the mountain and a very loud blast of the horn, and people trembled, and God came down, and the mountain trembled. Rashi says that the people were blown back. They were so afraid to come close to Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. They could not bear intimacy with the eternal. Certainly, that could be a good description of what happens in my meditation. I want to pay attention. I want to pay close attention to the arising, abiding, and passing of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, of being in this moment with breath. But my mind lurches and flees into reverie. My conditioning engulfs the moment, and I'm blown back from direct encounter with what is guiding me now. Now, here, from this perspective of our practice, this is my reading of the Ten Utterances, also known as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Utterances arise out of the first word, Anochi, I am. Or even at the first letter, the silent Aleph, and the silence that is within every sound. This is a great teaching for our practice, that God's name is the I am that flows through everything that we witness when we sit still and pay close attention. Utterance number one, Anochi. I am Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, your Elohecha, your God, Asher Hotzeti, say, Hoshea, I'm trying to do this in English, Tzeiti Chami Chami Eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim, who takes you out of the house of narrowness and bondage, which we hope that's what our practice is doing. I am, quote, unquote, I am the great I am, the only self there is. Breathing in, yeah, breathing out. In each breath, we merge with direct experience of this breathing body with the one self connected to everything. It's a little Sinai of annihilation in each moment. It takes us out of the narrow places of self-absorption, self-deception, yearning to be otherwise, and takes us out of enslavement to false consciousness that separates us from ourselves, from each other, from the one who carries us on eagle's wings. Sounds cozy and treacherous. Utterance number two. When you practice paying close attention to Yahweh, you won't have other false gods, but you will forget and will bow to the gods of desire, hatred, and delusion. Then you'll feel cut off, afraid, ashamed, or hard driving, or lazy. That has ongoing consequences for future generations. But when this self, narrow self, rests in breath, in Yah, Yahweh, you will be open to boundless love that has powerful consequences for future generations. Utterance number three. When you live this breath, this connection with everything, you won't swear falsely. Number four, you will find a way to balance 6 days of doing with 1 day of rest, for simply being, for stopping to ensoul, for Shabbat-ing. And if you can find that balance, you will, number five, forgive your parents, honor their legacy and that of the ancestors in your body. And number six, you will know that you are part of the great I Am, and so will not be able to take another's life. Or number seven, have sexual relations that harm. Or number eight, take what is not freely given. Or number nine, falsely accuse others. And number 10, you will be able to watch mindfully your yearning for what others have or are. So you won't have to chase after their spouses, their material objects, their talents, and skills. You won't have to believe the voices, "If only I was more like him or her," or "had what she has or he has." I could get rid of, perhaps I could get rid of this suffering. Yudhe Vavhe says, I will show kindness to the thousandth generation, to those who love me and keep our connection. That's our segue away from Torah time and into this moment of secular time, this day of celebrating love, 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 bum, ba, bum. Love, love, love. Da, 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 da. Happy Valentine's Day. May you walk in the light of love that can and will heal and transcend the ransacking of our government, our nation, the war in Israel and Palestine, and our whole world and our whole being. May our love be the basis of the work we are called now to do, to forge and deepen forces of loving and caring for each other on this wild spinning planet. May our hearts open. May we notice each other as part of ourselves. When we speak, let us speak each other's heart. And in silence, we give our personalities a rest, and the delusion of separation diminishes. We receive Matan Torah at the base of Sinai, the giving of the gift of Torah, of noticing and bowing to this unfathomable divine unfolding. Shabbat Shalom. Mm-hmm.